from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we are back in the groove. Come on, Mike. Get in midseason form. I didn't get a "we'll leave the light on" forum reference there when talking about Troy Fautanu potentially getting healthy to play in week one. I am not the first to congratulate everyone, but I won't be the last either. Welcome and congratulations on making it to football season after that long summer's always nice weather and things like that, but it is a long ass wait, especially when your team gets trounced in the wild card round of the playoffs like the Steelers did back in January, and we had to wait through February, the combine, free agency in March, which definitely had its moments with the Wilson deal and Fields came too, and the Patrick Queen signing, and oh my God, the con artist is up to his shenanigans. April with the draft, landing those offensive linemen. I'm forgetting the fact that Matt Canada was shown the door last season and replaced by Arthur Smith. So a ton has happened between now and where we are today. No Mueller, he's off. Last day he'll miss for a long time because he'll be in full football mode. The ultimate football guy, Donnie Football, though, is with me. As we look ahead to the Steelers and Falcons, and we have Mike Tomlin to react to for a real game for the first time in 9 months. It does feel good to have it back. I know as much as I fight against it and work hard to keep people engaged 365. I understand that there's a big chunk of our audience that is in during football season and not so much when it's not football season. So we're happy to have you back today for the first show of this football season. This will be my 15th on the fan. How many for you, Donnie? Here, four with us? This is year four? This is like your senior year of college?
No, not. I think only three.
Three.
I took over officially in December of 2021.
Okay. Why did I think four?
So like the tail, I mean, I was part-time for like 2 years before that. All so right. Maybe sprinkled in.
Well, I'm going to start with this. Tomlin, the newsiest thing to come out of his press conference today is the Seumalo injury. He's calling it week to week. We know for sure he's out and trying to figure out what this offensive line is going to look like in Atlanta on Sunday. I know the audience, having done football shows here for a decade and a half, you guys care about the offensive line. This is an offensive line town. I don't feel like I'm getting in the minutiae. I don't feel like I'm getting in the weeds. I don't feel like I'm going too in-depth when I bring up offensive line. In fact, I think we might even overstate, meaning fans here, I think obsess over offensive lines to the point where we have absolutely taken calls from people on this show who, when given the choice, would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or, say, I don't know, the Eagles or Lions offensive line, would pick the line. There are absolutely fans in this audience right now who believe that Tom Brady won championships in New England more to do with the fact that he was protected and didn't get hit than the type of quarterback he is. So I know that. So I know I have a captive audience when I talk about the Steelers and the offensive line. And here's what the offensive line has done to me, and the injuries and the things that haven't happened for them as we are now days away from kickoff. It has made me very worried about this game. The Falcons are a 3-point favorite, despite the fact that Donnie threw it out there earlier today. The Falcons have not beaten the Steelers really at all in their 60-year history. You have to go back to 1970 to find a regulation win. Their other win is an overtime win. That's it. The Steelers, the history of this matchup is hammer versus nail or lantern fly v. windshield. Odds makers think Atlanta's favored, and I can't blame them for that. You get excited about the return of the Steelers after waiting so long to watch them play a real game. I'm not counting the preseason, or I'm not counting minicamp. I'm not counting Latrobe. I'm talking about real games that we build our lives around, that we plan trips around, that we make sure we don't schedule big events like weddings or birthdays on game days. That's how seriously we take this crap. As I need to move my camera over here so people can see me on the video stream over at 93.7thefan.com. Here's the feeling I have on this game, and as we embark on this season, I'll make a golf analogy because now everybody here plays golf at the station. That's where Chris is today. Believe it or not, I played golf one time all year, and it was on Sunday. And I feel about golf the same way I feel about this pending Steelers season. I was excited to play because I knew what it meant. It meant that I was going to be out there with buddies, smoking cigars and drinking a few beers and away from the stresses of my life for 4 hours, 5 hours, because we actually went to playoff holes. I was out there in the serenity of the golf course with the fellas, having a few pops, BSing with each other, having a good time for 5 hours. But I also knew at the same exact time that I was going to suck. I knew that I wasn't going to play well. I was resigned to that fact when I showed up there. There weren't going to be any birdies. There weren't going to be any 50-foot putts made. I wasn't going to get any hole-in-ones. No, this is what I get for never really playing. But I knew that I was going to have at least fun because of the company that I had and what I would be doing in addition to playing golf, which was engaging in cigars and what's the Drake Muller likes that has the grape?
Transfusions.
We had some transfusions out there, yes. Okay? I got all into that. The social factor of it, amazing. The actual golf, bad. That's how I feel about this game on Sunday, and that's kind of how I feel about this season. I am on one hand ecstatic that the Steelers are back. I am very, very worried about this game, and I'm worried about the start of the year because of their offensive line issues. I think we're all in agreement that one thing the Steelers did not do well at the end of the Ben Roethlisberger era was protect a quarterback that was almost 40. And if you listen to Mike Tomlin press conferences, you knew the guy really could not move anymore. He was a statue back there. He was as big as the Willie Stargell statue outside of PNC Park and probably just as mobile. Sorry, Ben. Podcast is back. Thank you for starting that up again. I heard there was some personal stuff going on. We're happy that you're back doing audio work, although I wish you were still doing it with me, but that's another story. We knew he couldn't move anymore. I pulled up the offensive line from week one of Ben's final season. Donnie, do you think you could name it off the top of your head? You are a sicko when it comes to that
stuff.
Okay,
so that would have been 2021.
At Buffalo, they did win the game, to their credit.
So I know we had two rookies up there. It was Dan Moore at left tackle. It was Kendrick Green at center.
Yep.
Man, this should be... I don't know why I'm having so much of a hard time with this. Right tackle would have been Chooks.
Yep.
Then the guards were neither of the guys they have right now. It was not Daniels.
Nope.
It was not...
Nope.
Sayamalu. Man, who are the guards?
I'll save you time. Kevin Dotson was on the left side.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Trey Turner was on the right side. So left to right.
I completely forgot about Trey Turner.
I know, and no one's faulting you or casting aspersions on you because he was not good. He was a rental who was mediocre at best. Moore, Dotson, Green, Turner, Chooks, left to right. For a quarterback that couldn't move, rookie fourth-round pick, Dotson, who they ended up hating, Green playing out of position, Turner signed off the street, Chooks, one of the most overpaid offensive linemen in Steelers history, if not the most. He is the most overpaid in history. That was the line. Now I'm going to recite to you what the line is going to look like for a 36-year-old Russell Wilson who has been sacked more than any quarterback in the NFL the last 2 years and might end up getting sacked more than any quarterback in league history. This is your offensive line for Sunday. Dan Moore. He's like a cockroach in a nuclear holocaust where bombs are going off and everything else. He is still there. He survives over and over and over and over and over again. This guy always is there. Dan Moore. Spencer Anderson is going to be the left guard. He's a seventh-round pick from a year ago. His first career start will be Sunday. Zach Frazier, first career start on Sunday. I have very high hopes for Zach Frazier, but he's going to need to get acclimated. I mean, he did snap the ball at the wrong time with Justin Fields because he was trying to get silent counts down. Not that I think that'll be an issue on Sunday, because I think there'll be more Steelers fans than Falcons fans there. So, more Anderson Frazier, James Daniels, and then Broderick Jones out of position. That's your line. It just feels like they're making the same. And look, some of this is outside of their control because of Fautanu's injury. Some of it is not, like with Broderick Jones v. Dan Moore and Sayamalu's injury. You know, also not something I'm blaming the Steelers for. And he'll eventually come back, you would think. Now, what is he, 100%? I don't know. If he's not having surgery, that's going to be something he probably has to deal with the entire year. My point is, this line is in flux. This line is not cohesive. This line is going to take time, and the schedule is weak at the beginning. So you've got to make hay in these games, and I'm not confident the line is going to be able to do that. Najee Harris, who is no longer a captain for the last 2 years, is really not a first-round pick player. That's why the Steelers declined the option. He's really not, to me, someone who thrives behind average line or below average line. He's not a Christian McCaffrey, or maybe Bijan Robinson turns into this player who, almost regardless of who is blocking, the guy can still make plays. He's not. He caught 29 balls out of the backfield last year. That's it. So, I think the Steelers are going to lose this game on Sunday, because I just think the offense is too patchwork at this point. And this whole season, I think, is going to be defined by, can they flip a switch? Can the line come together? Can the quarterback turn back the clock? Can the offensive coordinator be such a big upgrade that working with less, he makes it happen, he makes it work? It's going to be an exercise in that all year offensively, because you can't just win with defense. There's no more 2000 Ravens in today's NFL. The Chiefs, and I know they had a great defense last year, but the Chiefs have the best play calling coach, the best offensive coach in the NFL, the best quarterback. That's why they're trying to become the first team ever to win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls. So it is game week. I get pumped. I turn into a different human when we get to this point on the calendar where this is all I want to do, all I want to talk about, all I want to think about it. But I'm actually very worried about this game, and I feel like this game is a microcosm of their season because of the offensive question marks, and it really starts with all of the movement on the offensive line. And if Ben couldn't play well behind the line that I just read off, I'm not confident or convinced that Russell Wilson is going to be able to do it behind Moore, Anderson, Frazier, Daniels, and Jones starting on Sunday. Donnie, your 2 cents.
I mean, I've thought for a while, really since the schedule came out, not that this is one of the most daunting games they have, but a sneaky tough game. I mean, we both think that Atlanta, probably due to their division, though, in part, is going to be a playoff team. We both think they will win the NFC South. We have said that before. But I feel like this is one of those games, and maybe it's because it's the first one, hope springs eternal, all of that stuff, that I get the feeling Steeler fans are going into it thinking like, oh, it'll be tough, but they'll take care of it. I mean, they wiped out their coaching staff in Atlanta. They have Raheem Morris, who Mike Tomlin loves. They have a huge upgrade at quarterback. I get that the Steelers have an upgrade, but theirs is a huge one. I think a larger gap. They have a running back who could maybe be one of the best in football. They also made two late offseason additions to their defense, and they weren't just two average Joes. These are two all-pro caliber players with Simmons and Judon. I think Atlanta is one of the more improved teams in the entire league. And that's what the Steelers have week one. I'm not worried about the hostile environment because we know the Steelers fans will take over anyway. But I have thought for a while the Falcons are a sneaky tough team on this schedule.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Do you determine yet which side you think broader or best on the league?
No, I made no determinations regarding that. Obviously, he's worked a lot at right. But again, we're going to continue to watch that as we progress through the week because versatility has been an asset for him and us.
Mike Tomlin on Broderick Jones still won't say what position he's going to play. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Steelers are an underdog in Atlanta against the Falcons. Getting some early week thoughts on this game. Are you worried about Atlanta? Are you worried about the Steelers season? Your biggest concerns, 412-928-9370. Looks like Dan Moore is going to start. Later on in his press conference today, Tomlin had a Freudian slip on Moore and definitely made it sound like Moore would be in the starting lineup. Last year, Dan Moore was 35th among left tackles in pressure rate. There are only 32 starting left tackles. He somehow was 35th. That's how bad he was. He's given up more pressures. So pressures meaning you get beat by the pass rusher. He's given up more than any left tackle in football over the last 2 years. And that's the guy that is slated to start again against the Falcons after you've drafted offensive tackles in the first round the last 2 years. But Mike Tomlin was talking today about how Dan Moore is the definition of professional football. You get better every year. And Dan Moore has done that. Well, he did not get better last year, and that's why they drafted Troy Fautano. By the way, Jerry Dulac saying in the Post-Gazette that if Seumalo had been lost, this is the crazy thing I was talking about before I went to break, that if Seumalo had been lost for the year, they would have moved Fautano to guard. They would have done more of what they did last year, which is play a guy out of position. That would have really pissed me off, Donnie. And I get it, you want to plug a hole, but that would have been like what they call the Dutch boy at the dike who's constantly putting fingers in holes to stop the water from spraying in. If you move Fautano to guard, well, then now you have a tackle problem. So, 412-928-9370. How about one of my best friends, Colt fan Greg, who I played golf with on Sunday, speaking of problems, they have a raccoon problem. They live in Brookline. They have a raccoon there, and not eating their garbage and stuff, hanging out in their front yard during the day. Just like it's...
So it's probably rabid.
Okay, so that's what I said. They call animal control. They said, no, these raccoons now have been urbanized, and they're not just nocturnal animals. And unless they're swaying from side to side and foaming at the mouth and stuff, they're just now conditioned to hang out during the day. And my man's got two dogs, and the dogs want a piece of this raccoon. And so what do? Animal control won't come over and get rid of it. I don't think you could take it out with a BB gun. You can't use an actual gun.
No, I mean, especially given where he lives.
You try to trap it. What if your dog goes in the trap? I mean, it's quite the conundrum.
I think you got to go with the trap method, though.
But like, you have dogs.
I know, but I think you have to, like, you may just not have to let them run freely until it's caught. Or they're like multiple that they have to take care of here.
No, it's just one raccoon, but it's like rubbing their nose in it. It's sunbathing on their back deck. It's like taking a crap in their front lawn during the day. It thinks it lives there. I'm serious. You're making a face. This is really happening to him. And then his wife is like, I don't want you to kill it because it's a living animal and it's kind of cute. So there's that whole debate going on.
Oh, no, I'm not on her side at all.
Especially when you have your own animals.
Yeah.
That's how I would look at it. Like I would not be able to live with myself or sleep at night if one of my dogs got attacked and murdered by a raccoon.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of animal lovers here, but that's a problem that needs to be taken
care
of.
But animal control,
apparently
when animal control
doesn't want to do it.
They're very nonchalant about it. They made it sound like it was really no big deal.
They come out and get it tested.
They can't get the... It was like one of those situations, he said, where you take your car into the mechanic and say, this is the noise it's making, and then the mechanic takes it for 5 minutes and it doesn't make the noise. And
oh,
so
yeah,
animal control came
classic.
Over one time and the raccoon wasn't there. I don't know what I would do. I don't think I'm fast enough to try to like hit it with a 2x4 or something on my own. Do you poison it? But that's the same situation. You poison it, your dog might get poisoned.
That's why I'm saying for the time being...
Are you allowed to poison it? If you poison a raccoon and kill it, are you going to go to jail for that? Does PETA get on your ass for something like that?
I mean, I don't know how things are in Brookline. I at least know where I grew up, that was something you'd never get caught for.
All right, 412-928-9370. This is a guy who always comes out during football season, our man Lou in Staten Island. Hello, Lou.
Hey, Pony. How's it going, bud?
It's good.
How was your summer, all right?
Not bad. I told you, I'm so excited that it's back, that we have football season. But I'm very down on this game on Sunday, and I'm afraid that I'm going to have that feeling going into a lot of Sundays this year.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a consensus with most of the people, you know, that root for this team. I mean, did you look at the odds of this team? I mean, this is
terrible.
This is embarrassing. 2,250 to 1 to win the conference, and 5,000 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's just purely embarrassing. I don't recall it ever being that high. And there's a reason for it. It's not just because everybody says how the AFC is loaded. Okay, it's the team itself. Why these odds are this high? And somebody needs to explain this to me, and I haven't been able to find anybody to do it. Maybe you can. What team do you know drafts number one picks, not number four, not number six picks, first round picks, and don't play them consistently at the position that they draft them?
Yeah. Broderick Jones last year is case in point for that.
And it's so frustrating. I mean, what are you doing? You drafted these guys so high in the draft, play them where they have to play, and then figure out the other positions. It doesn't make any sense to me. As far as this week...
Especially when left tackle is the most important position on the offensive line. You'd want your best player there, especially your most talented guy, and that would be Jones, you would think.
You would think, right? Unless maybe he's not as good as they're out to be. But, I mean, give the guy a chance. How do we know? I mean, it doesn't make any sense what they're doing. It's almost like he outthinks himself, this guy Tomlin. He wants to be smarter than everybody else and makes these decisions that just drive me crazy. You know, I've been calling the station for years over this guy. They're going to lose more games than they win this year. And that's the only good thing about this season, is that that ridiculous statement will finally die. And you know what that is, right?
No seasons with no losing seasons in 17 years.
Correct. And that, to me, will be gratifying.
So what is Lou and Staten Island's official Steelers season prediction this year? Give me a win-loss record.
I'm going either 7-9 and 6-10. Let's call it 7-9.
Well, they play 17 now, Lou.
Oh, I'm sorry. 7-10.
Okay. I got you down for 7-10.
Yeah, 7-10. And if everything goes right, and I mean everything, they maybe go 10-7, but they would literally need to have everything go right. Last year, too, nobody talks about this either, Andrew. They did pretty good on the injury front. You know, they didn't have many guys that got hurt.
Well,
like,
they also got lucky
injuries.
With guys like Joe Burrow. They missed him twice. They got to play Jake Browning two times, and he basically barfed on himself in both games. So they dodged that bullet. Also, Anthony Richardson got hurt in Indianapolis. So that guy's a great athlete. We'll see what kind of quarterback he is.
Young guys in there, and so there's a lot of meat on that growth bone. I mean, we've seen a lot of it, to be quite honest with you, for several reasons. We have some young guys that we drafted high in the draft that shown that the NFL is not too big for them, and I'd imagine they'll continue to show that and continue to grow with exposure. But we also got some second-year players like Broderick and Spencer. I mean, that second lap around the track is reasonable to expect growth and development because of the knowing component.
PM team Tomlinism of the week. You got a twofer there. You got two for the price of one. It's a buy one, get one sale on Tomlin Expressions. Segment not sponsored yet, but we'll get it there. We've got meat on the growth bone in second lap around the track here for Tomlin going into his bag of tricks. Well, we get, you can't put the Jell-O back in the box at some point this year. If you got red paint, you paint the barn red. It's like popcorn. What else you got, Donnie? Any other good ones?
I don't think he did paint with a broad brush today, did he?
No. And he did not do, we'll leave the light on for you, Tom Bodette.
I wonder if Bodette cracked down on him. He heard about it.
Meat on the growth bone. Second lap around the track. I'll tell you what, I am one of those guys. It pains me to admit this. If I go out for wings with someone and I see that they're leaving a lot of meat on the bone and moving on to the next wing, I will make a comment about it. How about you? I will say, what are you doing here? You're acting like you can eat 30 wings. You're taking two bites out of it and you're leaving the rest of it there. You got to clean that sucker.
Yeah, there was a guy I was buddies with.
I hate that.
Especially
when they talk a big game about how many they can eat.
Yeah, I knew a guy.
It's a big-time faux pas.
I knew a guy from high school that he bragged about doing. I want to say it was Quaker steak. They had like their like atomic challenge or triple atomic challenge. And not to take anything away from the people that do actually do it, but then I saw him actually eat relatively hot wings for the first time. He would just take one bite like out of the center if it was like a drum, and that was that. Like, he wouldn't rip off every single piece you could have.
Now, I'm not someone that's, like, making sure that I get the cartilage on the top of it. You know, I'm not the flats, the drumstick, like that big cartilage muscle kind of bite. Like, I won't, like, completely get it down to just bone. That's one thing, like, my dad, like, reinforcing me when we went out for wings when I was a kid. Like, come on, man. If you're going to order 20 wings, you got to eat them all and not half-ass these things. Speaking of track, second lap around the track, did I tell you guys that when I went to the track, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a lady that had to be at least 75 years old said I had a nice butt? Yeah.
You feel good about it?
I mean, borderline sexual harassment, but I was okay with it.
I once got told in my time of working for Amazon, there was a lady probably around that same age who called me handsome when I delivered her Amazon for the day. It's almost like the grandmother comment, though.
Was it like a pickup line comment or just, this is a nice handsome young man right here?
Yeah, I think it was more of that, like the grandma comment. No, they call you handsome.
I think this lady was trying to pick me up. I think she was trying to see if I was interested. I hate to bring this up, but like someone who looked like they had lived in a tanning bed for 40 years. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah,
that's
not good. Looking a little like leathery.
Like my wallet right here. One of these. Look like an old catcher's mitt. But yeah, I got a nice butt. I got that going for me, I guess.
What were you wearing?
I was just wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I wasn't even showing anything. Yeah.
Just a random pair of gym shorts.
Yep. One of the things that was interesting about doing the Roethlisberger show for all those years is that Ben would say something and then Tomlin would have to rebut it. And their answers would not always be the same. There was not always this company punch, company line. We're in this together. We have the same... We're singing out of the same hymnal approach that you want with your coach and quarterback. With Belichick and Brady, with their radio interviews for decades, they were always so bland and boring and milquetoast because they would recite and say the same things. That was not the case with Ben and Tomlin. And Ben's podcast is back. He's already disagreeing with Tomlin on something that Mike brought up today. And we'll see who you agree with, Tomlin or Roethlisberger. When we come back, Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 412-928-9370. Would like to get you involved here as we are in game mode. Steelers and Falcons on Sunday. Tomlin's first press conference was today live on The Fan. He's here every Tuesday at noon. You can listen to the whole thing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.